ओम गणितमिनन्दस्य जनार्दनशलकया चक्षुसमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदायं ददति सापन्नतिकाम् वंशकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम 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 Finished chapter 24, very long chapter that relayed the prayers that Lord Shiva taught the Prachetas. The Prachetas were heading to perform austerities sent by their father, Maharaj Marishat Mohi. And after hearing the prayers of Lord Shiva, anyway, let's explain what happens in the beginning of chapter 25, so we'll begin. The great sage Maitreya continued speaking to Vidura. My dear Vidura, in this way, Lord Shiva instructed the sons of King Barishat. Basically, he told them that it is the Lord who, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, ultimately Lord Krishna, who is the one who has to be pleased through austerities, whatever one does, for his pleasure is really austerity. So they were going to perform, the Prachetas were going to perform very, very difficult physical austerities for his pleasure. So if one is doing something for the pleasure of another, what will be the situation of the mind? The mind will be focused upon that person whom one is trying to please. Which was really the essence of the prayers of Lord Shiva, that focus one's mind upon the Lord, who is so beautiful, who is so powerful, who is the shelter of all living entities, and really, he is the only protector from time. Kalosmin lokachaya krit, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. I am that force of time, the all-devouring crusher of this world. So the sons of the king, after hearing the instructions, also worship Lord Shiva with great devotion and respect. Finally, Lord Shiva became invisible to the princes. How many princes were there? 10 Prachetas. And who is their father? Here is Prabhupada's purport. We'll just read the second half of it. We should remember that the monarchical hierarchy of Prachini Barishat comes from Maharaj Juva. Actually, this whole canto is the descendants of Maharaj Juva, who actually from Uttanapad. A great devotee of the Lord and the most celebrated disciple of Narada Muni. King Prachini Barishat was then too much engaged in fruitive activities due to performing different types of yajñas. We'll hear a little more about this later. One can actually be promoted to higher planetary systems or to the heavenly kingdoms by performing various yajñas. So what is the benefit of going to the higher planetary systems? So immediately, as soon as we mention the higher planetary systems, great Scott appears. What is the benefit of going to the higher planetary systems? Yeah. Beginning with? Huh? Long life. Subtle consciousness. Everything very beautiful. The most beautiful music. Everyone is beautiful physically. Everyone is peaceful, pleasing, great, gorgeous gardens that are soothing to the mind and give a facility, invoke the spirit of enjoyment, long life. So by performing various yogis, one can go there, but there is no question of liberation or going back home, back to Godhead. So when one goes to these heavenly places, one doesn't even care about liberation or going back to Godhead. Why? Because one's pleasure is so great. When the great sage Narada saw that a descendant of Maharaj Dhruva was being misled by fruitive activities, Narada took compassion upon him and personally came to instruct him about the ultimate benefit of life, bhakti yoga. How Narada Muni indirectly introduced the bhakti yoga system to King Puchini Barishai is very interestingly described in this 25th chapter. So the verse was saying that Lord Shiva disappeared, and Prabhupada in his purport is going, he's going a little bit ahead in the story. Now back to what happened when Lord Shiva disappeared in verse 2. All the Pacheta princes simply stood in the water for 10,000 years, and it wasn't hot water either, and recited the prayers given to them by Lord Shiva. So they were standing in that water, under the water actually, for so many years. We're not going to, because the 10,000 years takes its time to pass, and we won't hear, now we're in chapter 25, and we won't hear about what happened to the Pachetas until chapter 30. And the fourth canto has two chapters in addition, when we start the Pachetas, in 30 and 31, then the fourth canto ends. So from 25 to 29, the chapters that we will be reading right now, we'll be hearing about what happened to the father of the Pachetas. The Pachetas met Lord Shiva, and we've already heard the hint that the father of the Pachetas, Puchini Barishad, who was engaged in performing yagyas, karmakandic fruitive yagyas to gain heavenly pleasure, he is going to be helped by Narada Muni, because Narada Muni had so much affection for Dhruva Maharaj, and naturally when one has affection for someone, one has affection for his children. So Narada Muni didn't want to see Puchini Barishad going astray and wasting his life. So we're going to leave the Pachetas quite soon. One more verse about the Pachetas, or half a verse. While the princes were undergoing severe austerities in the water, their father was performing different types of fruitive activities. At this time, the great saint Narada, master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king and decided to instruct him about spiritual life. So, why does one again perform these yagyas or fruitive activities? There are so many things to be gained. Go to the heavenly planets. One can get longevity of life, victory over one's enemies, scholarship, great reputation, powerful sons, wealth. One can get heavenly life. One can get riches. And it's interesting that even if one wants these type of things, and they are not at all what is recommended, they're compared to the most insignificant things, compared to liberation, what to speak of, compared to bhakti, being with Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. But if one wants these type of things, at the end of the 23rd chapter of this canto, it describes that one can gain riches and scholarship and reputation and longevity and victory. The same things that one gains through jagya, fruit of jagya, one can get these same things just by hearing of the activities of Prithu Maharaj. So this is the point, that one can gain all material benefits if one becomes a great devotee. Just by hearing about Prithu Maharaj, one gains these benefits. And these, practically speaking, are just the lure to attract us to gain the greatest of things, which is bhakti. So again, akama sava kama va moksha kama udaradi. Practically speaking, this entire canto is explaining this point, that whatever one's situation is, one should become a devotee. It is the proper way, it is the fearless way, even to gain one's material desires. What to speak of gaining the highest of and most wonderful of things. So way back, just a little bit of the history again, in the 24th chapter, in the 9th and 10th verse, it describes, when describing the descendants of Prithu Maharaj, it describes Maharaj Bahishat. He was very expert in performing various kinds of fruit of sacrifice, and he was also expert in the practice of mystic yoga. By his great qualifications, he became known as Prajapati. Maharaj Bahishat executed many sacrifices all over the world. He scattered kusha grass and kept the tops of the grasses pointing eastward. So he was always continuously performing sacrifice after sacrifice, increasing his capacity for present and future enjoyment. Continuously, until the whole earth practically was covered by the kusa grass that was used in his sacrifices. So then, at this time, the great Saint Narada, going back to text 3, the second half of text 3 in chapter 25, Narada, the master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king, decided to instruct him. Text 4. Narada Muni asked King Prachini Bharishat, "My dear king, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities?" Because sometimes we get so involved in what we are doing, we forget to ask, we forget why we are doing it even. We're just caught up in doing it. So why are you performing these fruitive activities? What is the purpose? You're taking all your energy and using it. Why? "The chief aim," Narada continues, "of life is to get rid of all miseries and enjoy happiness." So you're performing your fruitive activities to get rid of miseries and increase your happiness? But, Narada says, "these two things cannot be realized by fruitive activities." This is an essential point, but it's like a shock to the system. If we do fruit of activities, any of them, we use the term fruit of activities, karmis, this and that. But what does fruit of activities mean? There is the Vedic karmakandic strict performance of fruit of activities, sacrifices to gain future and heavenly pleasures. But then there is also simply what we understand as fruit of activities are activities that will generate. Karma means activities that will generate a material body. Selfish activities meant for pleasure. So most of our day is spent in fruit of activities, things that we think that will be pleasing to us and that will remove our miseries. But actually, if we work until, as my mom used to say, work until the cows come home, or if you work forever, still, these two things, the removal of miseries and the attainment of pleasure, cannot be attained by fruit of activities. Here's Prabhupada's purport. In this material world, there is a great illusion which covers real intelligence. A man in the mode of passion wants to work very hard to derive some benefit, but he does not know that time will never allow him to enjoy anything permanently. Compared with the work one expends, the gain is not so profitable. Even if it is profitable, it is not without its distresses. If a man is not born rich and he wants to purchase a house, cars, and many other material things, he has to work hard day and night for many years in order to possess them. Thus, happiness is not attained without undergoing some distress. Actually, pure happiness cannot be had within this material world. Pure happiness, unadulterated happiness, cannot be had within this material world. If we wish to enjoy something, we must suffer for something else. On the whole, suffering is the nature of this material world, and whatever enjoyment we are going to achieve is simply illusion. So, in this chapter, in these next chapters, in the story of Puccini Bharhi, 25 to 29, the chord of detachment is going to be struck. Why do we need detachment or a renounced mood in dealing with the material world? There's one verse in the seventh canto, Matir Nikrishne Paritak Svatova Mityo Vipadyeti Griha Vratanam. That means, Andante Gobhya Vishatata Mizram Purnas Purna Charvita Chavananam. That means that the inclination to Krishna, the mind's inclination to Krishna, will not be evoked if one has taken the vow in a subtle way or is internally determined to enjoy in this world. Even if people preach to you or me, or if everyone gets together in a group and tells us that there is no, about Krishna, the effect will not be an inclination to Krishna unless we give up this tendency, this hope against hope that we're going to be happy in the material world somehow or another. So therefore, this part of the Bhagavatam will speak so strongly, and Prabhupada's purports are actually quite heavy. And the whole point of the story that we're going to hear, that Narada tells to King Barishat, is to make us detached from the material world, presenting the material world in a very, very heavy, strong, negative way, so it enters into our consciousness that we should not try to enjoy the material world, and that in and of itself will not make us happy. Understand, that will make us miserable, just to think that we can't enjoy the material world, unless at the same time, a hope, a desire, or the seed of a hope, or the seed of a desire enters our heart. The concept, the taste enters our heart that we are Krishna's servant and we should give up this material world and go to Him. But most of these chapters will be to hammer us and hammer us and hammer us heavily that if you want to enjoy this material world, you will fail. Just see what will happen. Prabhupada continues. After all, on the whole, suffering is the nature of the material world, and whatever enjoyment we are trying to achieve is simply illusion. After all, we have to suffer the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. We may discover many fine medicines, but it is not possible to stop the sufferings of disease or death. Actually, medicine is not the counteracting agent for either disease or death. On the whole, there is no happiness in this material world. But an illusioned person works very hard for so-called happiness. Indeed, this process of working hard is actually taken for happiness. This is called illusion. Therefore, Narada Muni asked King Prachinibharishat what he desired to attain by performing so many costly sacrifices. Even if one attains a heavenly planet, if one succeeds in one's plans, usually one doesn't succeed in one's plans, but even if one does succeed and achieves one's plans, everything that one wants with the fruit of mentality, he still cannot avoid the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and number four, death. Yes. Someone may argue that even devotees have to undergo many distresses in executing austerities and penances connected with devotional service. Of course, for the neophytes, the routine of devotional service may be very painful. But at least they have the hope that they will ultimately be able to avoid all kinds of distresses and achieve the highest perfectional stage of happiness. So for a materialistic person, his situation is hopeless because everyone knows what's going to happen. For a devotee, his situation is hopeful. He's hoping for Krishna's mercy. Hopeful, hopeless. This is the difference. This is even for the neophyte. So Narada asked the question to the king, what are you trying to gain? And the king's reply, O great soul Narada, my intelligence is entangled in fruit of activities. I have this desire. I want to enjoy, and my intelligence has been engaged in trying to facilitate that enjoyment. Therefore, I do not know the ultimate goal of life. I am wrapped up in the temporary. Kindly instruct me in pure knowledge so that I can get out of the entanglement of fruit of activities. So he understood, Prachinibharishat. His knowledge was covered, but yet it was there. And when Narada prodded him, poked him, he understood immediately that I'm not doing the right thing, the best of things. So please, he requested, give me pure knowledge, not knowledge that is useful for attaining fruit of activities. Pure, perfect knowledge. So Prachinibharishat understood that fruit of self-centered activities, anywhere in the material world, whatever one has, it means ultimately suffering. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. In the Western countries, it is not unusual for one to take birth in a rich aristocratic family. And then again, it's not unusual for us to take birth in unaristocratic and horrible families too. More and more. But, nor is it unusual for one to have good education, a very beautiful body, but this does not mean that Westerners are free from the distresses of life. Although at the present moment, the younger generation in Western country has sufficient education, beauty, and wealth, and although there is enough food, clothing, and facilities for sense gratification, they are in distress. Indeed, they are so distressed that they become hippies. And the laws of nature force them to accept a wretched life. Thus they go about unclean and without shelter or food, and they are forced to sleep in the street. It can be concluded that one cannot become happy by simply performing pious activities, because pious activities give the facilities for material enjoyment. And that material enjoyment, Prabhupada's giving the example of the youth in the Western countries, does not really bring one happiness. It is not a fact that those who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth are freed from the material miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. Number four. Big number four. The D word. The conclusion is that one cannot be happy by simply executing pious or impious activities. Such activities simply cause entanglement and transmigration from one body to another. Nirottama Das Thakur calls them karma bandha phansa. King Puccini Barishad admitted this fact and frankly asked Narada Muni how he could get out of this miserable material situation called karma bandha phansa, entanglement and fruit of activities. This is actually the stage of knowledge indicated in the first verse of Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. When one actually reaches the platform of frustration in an attempt to discharge karma bandha phansa, he inquires about the real value of life, which is called Brahma Jigyasa. In order to inquire about the ultimate goal of life, the Vedas enjoin tad vijnanartham sagarum eva bigatche. In order to understand the transcendental science, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. King Puccini Barishad found the best spiritual master, Narada Muni. So he begins to inquire from Narada Muni. He says, those who are interested only in a so-called beautiful life, namely, remaining as a householder entangled by sons and a wife and searching after wealth, thinks that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding out the ultimate goal of life. So these fruit of activities really just called wandering through the cycle of birth and death. Prabhupada explains in the purport. The king was very fortunate to be able to associate with Narada, who enlightened him in spiritual knowledge. It is the duty of all saintly persons to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and travel all over the world to every country and village just to instruct illusioned persons about the goal of life and to save them from the entanglement of karma bandha, fruit of activities. So Narada Muni began speaking, replying. He asked him to help. Narada Muni said, what is the purpose of what you are doing? The king said, please help me. I know I'm not doing the best thing. I'm engaged in fruit of activities. And now, Narada wished to invoke deeply within his heart renunciation. So Narada said to him, O ruler of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky, see those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena. All these animals are awaiting your death so that they can avenge the injuries you have inflicted upon them. After you die, they will angrily pierce your body with iron horns. For every mistake, every bit of pain we cause while performing selfish activities, every bit of pain we cause another, from the animals to the humans, the germs to the birds, every ant we step on, they will get us back. They will have the opportunity to cause us pain. Fruit of activities, very dangerous. So Narada wishes to frighten Puccini Barishad. Look what you've done. Look at the future that you have prepared for yourself. You have performed so many sacrifices, and so many of them have entailed the killing of an animal, and when the animal is killed, And the sacrifice exactly properly according to the Vedas without any discrepancy, then he's given a human birth. But if there's the slightest discrepancy mean if an activity is not performed exactly according to the Vedic injunctions, and we even have no idea what they are, what to speak of performing our activities exactly according to them without the slightest discrepancy. So even though Prachini Bharishat tried to perform his sacrifice without discrepancy, there must be discrepancies. And therefore there is suffering awaiting for him in the form of those animals he caused pain. So he's saying, look and see what your future is. In this connection, Narada continued, I wish to narrate an old history connected with the character of a king called Puranjana. Please try to hear me with great attention. So he's really, now Narada Muni is going to tell Prachini Bharishat a story about Prachini Bharishat. Because he's going to tell him, this is what's going to happen to you in the future. So wake up, change your ways. He's going to frighten him by showing him the results of this body. So by talking to Prachini Bharishat about Puranjana, we are being talked to and woken up. And detachment is supposed to awaken within our hearts. So this is an allegorical story. So as we go through it, the elements of the allegory will be explained in as we go and also in chapters. So it is said that it's an old history because the Puranjana, the person, the living entity who is trying to enjoy in the material world, has a very, very long and old history. We have been in the material world, Krishna Bhule say, Jeeva Nadiya Bahimuk, more or less forever, Anadi. Basically forever, since time immemorial, untraceable time. And we have taken body after body, samsareda duk maya tare. Maya gives us the miseries of repeated birth and death and birth and death, inhabiting one body after another, the soul. So this old history is about each and every one of us. Now we are in a particular body, the Matajis on one side of the room in their bodies, the Pitajis on this side of the room in their bodies, and we're all individuals, have different kinds of bodies, sizes, shapes, etc. But these are just temporary housings for the Puranjana, who is within the body, the soul, the eternal soul. Here's some of Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Upadesho hi murkanam prakopaya nashantaye. If good instructions are given to a foolish rascal, he simply becomes angry and turns against the instructions instead of taking advantage of them. Because Narada Muni knew this very well, he indirectly instructed the king by giving him the history of his entire life. In order to wear a gold or diamond nosepin or earring, one has to pierce the ear or nose. Such pain endured for the sake of sense gratification is endured on the path of karmakanda, the path of fruit of activity. If one wishes to enjoy something in the future, he has to endure trouble at the present. If one wants to become a millionaire in the future and enjoy his riches, he has to work very hard at the present moment in order to accumulate money. This is called karma kandya. Those who are too much attached to such a path undergo the risk anyway. Those who are too much attached, Narada Muni wanted to show King Prachini Bharishat how one undergoes great troubles and miseries in order to engage in fruitive activity. A person who is very much attached to material activity is called a Vishayi. A Vishayi is an enjoyer of Vishaya, which means the objects of the senses are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Narada Muni is indirectly indicating through the story of King Paranjana that eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are troublesome and risky. So he's going to begin the story. My dear king, once in the past lived a king named Paranjana, who was celebrated for his great activities. He had a friend named Avigat, the unknown one. That's the super soul within the heart, because no one knows that he's there really. But he's still a friend. And he performs great activities, Paranjana. He was celebrated for his great activities because in so many bodies we perform heroic activities. But no one can understand the activities of Avigat. Who is Avigata? The unknown one? Why is he called unknown? He can't be seen. And? Yeah, we're unconscious of him. We're unaware that we have a dear friend in the heart, Krishna. Prabhupada explains at the end of this purport, so vasya chaham ride saravisto matya smitir ganam aponam cha. I'm seated, the super soul is seated in everyone's heart. And from me, Krishna says, comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Thus the Lord as Paramatma is situated in everyone's heart. And he gives directions to the living entity to act in whatever way the living entity desires. In this life and in his previous lives, the living entity does not know that the Lord is giving him a chance to fulfill all kinds of desires. That's what's going on in this life. We're just trying to fulfill one desire after another, after another, but where's the happiness? It is just the anticipation that it will turn happy at some point. No one can fulfill any desire without the sanction of the Lord. All the facilities given by the Lord are unknown to the conditioned soul. Text 11. So King Paranjana, the hero, the performer of many great activities with his Avigata, with his unknown friend, he began to search for a suitable place to live. And thus he traveled all over the world. Even after a great deal of traveling, he could not find a place just to his liking. Sound familiar? Finally, he became morose and disappointed. Prabhupada explains, as stated in this verse, the living entity wants to become a Prabhu or master. The word Prabhu means master, but actually sometimes, because usually when someone in the temple says, oh Prabhu, you know they're going to ask you to do something. So sometimes we should, instead of saying Prabhu, we should say, oh master, and see how different it comes out. Oh master, could you please? The word Prabhu means master, but actually the living entity is not a master. He is the eternal servant of God. When the living entity abandons the shelter of God Krishna and tries to become a Prabhu independently, he travels all over the creation. There are 8,400,000 species of life and millions and trillions of planets within the creation. The living entity wanders throughout these various types of bodies and throughout different planets. And thus he is like King Paranjana, who travels all over the world looking for a suitable place to live. going from one place to the next, to the next, to the next. But of course, as Prabhupada explains later. Oh, we'll read that. Thus in this verse it is said, na anurupam, that the king could never find this place suitable for his purpose. This is because in any form of life and on any planet in the material world, a living entity cannot be happy, because everything in the material world is unsuitable for the spirit soul. Now that eliminates a lot of choices that we have, that everything is unsuitable for the soul. If we have any plans, material plans, all of them are unsuitable for bringing us happiness. This is because in any form of life and on any planet in the material world, a living entity cannot be happy, because everything in the material world is unsuitable for the spirit soul. As stated in this verse, the living entity independently wants to become a Prabhu. But as soon as he gives up this idea and becomes a servant of God, Krishna, his happiness immediately begins. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Mitshe mayaravashe yachaveshe katsha habadu bubai. My dear living entity, why are you being carried away by the waves of Maya? As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 1861, Ishwara Savabhutanam Riddhishe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Savabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The living entity is carried in the machine of the body through so many species of life on so many planets. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked the living entity why he is being carried away in these bodily machines to be placed in so many different circumstances. He advises that one surmount the waves of Maya by surrendering unto Krishna. Jiva Krishna Dasa Evishvas Karle Tara Dukanai. As soon as we confront Krishna, Krishna advises Savadamam Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Ham Tom Sava Papebhyo Mukshishami Masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus we are immediately relieved from traveling from one body to another and from one planet to another. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev. If while traveling a living entity becomes fortunate enough to become blessed by the association of devotees and to come to Krishna consciousness, his real life actually begins. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving all wandering living entities a chance to take to the shelter of Krishna and thus become happy. So King Paranjana had traveled all over looking for a suitable place, from one place to the next, just like we travel from body to body. Text 12. King Paranjana had unlimited desires for sense enjoyment. Consequently, he traveled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. Srila Vidyapati, a great Vaishnava poet, has sung, Tatale Sakate Vari Bindu Sama Sutamita Ramani Samaje. Material sense gratification with society, friendship and love is herein compared to a drop of water falling on a desert. A desert requires oceans of water to satisfy it. And if only a drop of water is supplied, what is its use? Similarly, the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is Anandamayo Vyasad, full of ananda, full of pleasure, full of enjoyment, being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In its wanderings in the different species of life, the living entity may taste some type of enjoyment in one body or another. But full enjoyment of the senses cannot be obtained in any material body. Thus Paranjan, the living entity, wanders in different types of body, but everywhere he meets frustration in his attempt to enjoy. In other words, the spiritual spark covered by matter cannot fully enjoy the senses in any circumstance in material life. So we are going to be hammered on this point. This is just the beginning. We cannot enjoy. We can try as much as we like, but it's not possible. It is not possible. Like a drop of water, we desire, we need an ocean of happiness. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipatam. And what do we get? We get a drop. And that just increases our desire and frustration. So unfortunately, Paranjana found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. And what do we usually do when we find when we have a feeling of insufficiency? We start, what? Good point. And you don't even need money. You just need a credit card. And if we don't do that, we just blame somebody. That's the other thing we do. This person did this, and it's all his fault and her fault. Someone else's fault. It's just it's incompatible. We're incompatible in the material world, But anyway, we'll try again to enjoy. We do, and so does Paranjana. Hoping that the next place, the next thing will be the thing, the one that fulfills the aching in the heart. Once, while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of the Himalayas, in a place named Bharadvaj, India, a city that had 9 gates all about and was characterized by all auspicious facilities. So Prabhupada in his purport, he talks about the glories of a birth in Bharadvarsha. Were you born in Bharadvarsha or in Perthvarsha? How about Choti? Chotibai? Chotabai. Australia Dham. Bahutacha. So we're going to hear something about the glories of a birth in India. So there's something to be proud about for that. But it's a responsibility, Prabhupada will explain. And that responsibility is to preach. The tract of land south of the Himalayan mountains, does that include Nepal? Are you sure? Well, that's a history here, we don't know. Is the land of India, which was known as Bharatvarsh. Even today, India is known as Bharat. That's India's name for India, Bharat. When a living entity takes birth in Bharatvarsha, he is considered to be most fortunate. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated in Bharat Bhumite Hoyle Manusha Janmayar, Janma Sartaka Kari Kara Para Upakar. Thus, whoever takes birth in the land of Bharatvarsha attains all the facilities of life. He may take advantage of all these facilities for both material and spiritual advancement, and thus make his life successful. After attaining the goal of life, one may distribute his knowledge and experience all over the world for humanitarian purposes. In other words, one who takes birth in the land of Bharatvarsh by virtue of his past pious activities gets full facility to develop the human form of life. In India, the climatic condition is such that one can live very peacefully without being disturbed by material conditions. Indeed, during the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira or Lord Ramachandra, people were free from all anxieties. There was not even extreme cold or extreme heat. The three kinds of miserable conditions, adiatmika, adibhautika, and adidaivika, miseries inflicted on the body and mind itself, those inflicted by other living entities and natural disturbances, were all absent during the reign of Lord Ramachandra or Maharaj Yudhisthira. But at the present, compared to other countries on earth, India is artificially disturbed. Despite these material disturbances, however, the country's culture is such that one can easily attain the goal of life, namely salvation or liberation from material bondage. Thus, in order to take birth in India, one must have performed many pious activities in a past life. In this verse, the word lakshita lakshanam indicates that the human body attained in Bharat Varsha is very auspicious. Vedic culture is full of knowledge, and a person born in India can fully take advantage of the Vedic cultural knowledge and the cultural system known as Vanashrama Dharma. So this is the fortune of a birth in India, that one has knowledge. Even at the present time, as we travel all over the world, we see that in some countries, human beings have many material facilities, but no facilities for spiritual advancement. We find everywhere the defects of one-sided facilities and a lack of full facilities. A blind man can walk, but not see. And a lame man cannot walk, but can see. Anda pangu nyaya. The blind man may take the lame man over his shoulder, and as he walks, the lame man may give him directions. Thus combined, they may work, but individually neither the blind man nor the lame man can walk successfully. Similarly, this human form of life is meant for the advancement of spiritual life and for keeping the material necessities in order. Especially in the Western countries, there are ample facilities for material comforts, but no one has any idea of spiritual advancement. Many are hankering after spiritual advancement, but many cheaters come, take advantage of their money, bluff them, and go away. Fortunately, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is there to give all facilities for both material and spiritual advancement. In this way, people in the Western countries may take advantage of this movement. A little further down. At the present moment, India may be compared to the lame man, and the Western countries to the blind man. For the past 2,000 years, India has been subjugated by the rule of foreigners, and the legs of progress have been broken. In the Western countries, the eyes of the people have become blind due to the dazzling glitter of material opulence. So everyone is, just like if you stare into something very, very bright, one loses the ability to see. So the brightness of the glitter of material opulence has blinded the Western countries. Blinded them so much so no one can see even that they're going to die. Just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. So the blind man of the Western countries and the lame man of India should combine together in this Krishna consciousness movement. So the knowledge that is natural for one born in Bharat Varsha, knowledge of the soul, knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of deity worship, knowledge of chanting the holy name, knowledge of holy places, knowledge of association with holy persons, knowledge of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. This is the greatest wealth of Bharat Varsha. So that knowledge is vision. And material opulence is power. So with the combination of the Vedic cultural knowledge, vision, and the power of Western know-how, it makes the combination that Prabhupada refers to as anda pangu nyaya, the lame and the blind cooperating. Then the lame man of India can walk with the help of the Westerner, and the blind Westerner can see with the help of the lame man. In short, the material advancement in Western countries and the spiritual assets of India should combine for the elevation of all human society. So Paranjana took a body, a birth in Bharatvarsha, and his desire was to enjoy. He went into a city. What was that city like? The city is, he went into a body, a Bharatvarshic body, wanting to enjoy. And now in tomorrow's class we'll start hearing about that body, and the allegory will continue. Okay, thank you very much. Questions, comments? Okay, tomorrow we shall meet again, if Krishna allows. Huh?
A couple of questions.
One is on the
family affection by Narada. He had affection for Maharaj Pachyabari because he came in the family of Dhruva Maharaj.
But that was based on the spiritual. He could not tolerate seeing a descendant of the great devotee Dhruva Maharaj act in an unknowledgeable way.
Is that a mixing of spiritual and...
It's just natural. It's just
natural.
Personal. Huh? It's personal, exactly. It's just completely natural. Just completely natural. When we see a good devotee, we want to naturally see his children because it's the heritage. Children also become similarly inclined. Just natural. Krishna also acts that way. So many generations before and after are liberated from a devotee. This is due to the affection for Dhruva Maharaj. That's both questions, huh? Okay. On that note, we shall end for today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Narada Muni ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah.